Welcome to the space show, Naomi.
Thank you.
You're here on a stand that's got a lot of attributes to it. What are we telling? What story are we telling here at the Avalon Air Show today?
Well, there's a lot of interesting activities happening up at Mount Stromlo. So Australia is a 10% shareholder in the Giant Magellan Telescope project, which is a huge asset for our scientists, but also for our engineers. So up at Mount Stromlo, we're working on the adaptive optics, one of the instruments for the Giant Magellan Telescope. And one of the things I'm talking about to the aerospace community is that in order to test those instruments, we need a very specialist facility, which also enables us to assemble, integrate and test spacecraft in Australia. So this is a new capability that we have here, this national facility with clean rooms and thermal vacuum chambers and vibration and shock test facilities is something that we haven't had before, but it's a real enabling facility for our industry here.
Perhaps many of our listeners aren't familiar with the Giant Magellan Telescope, although we have had it on the space show previously. Could you just briefly tell us a bit about it?
So the Giant Magellan Telescope is one of the next generation of extremely large telescopes. It'll be based in Chile. The conditions there are better than anywhere in the world for this type of telescope. But it's made up of It's comprised of seven 8-metre diameter reflectors. So this very, very large telescope, in order for it to be able to see through the atmosphere, it needs the adaptive optics sub-reflector to be able to correct for the turbulence. So this is something that's part of these extremely large telescopes, but it's because of its size and because of this adaptive optics that it will have a clarity 10 times greater than the Hubble Space Telescope. So for scientists, this is something that will enable them to look further back into the history of our universe.
Now, adaptive optics means that they alter the shape, or is it the orientation of the telescope mirrors?
So the adaptive optics is situated in the focal point of the large reflector. It measures the wavefront of the atmosphere, the light coming into the telescope, and then it actively corrects for the turbulence. So it effectively corrects for any turbulence in the atmosphere and enables the astronomers to clear up the picture.
Now, you've mentioned the facility being available for other uses. Tell us about some of those.
So we're developing a number of instruments for the astronomers. So we work on telescopes at Siding Spring, at the Gemini facilities in Hawaii and Chile, but also in Australia in the space industry, we'll be testing the three QB50 satellites that Australia will be launching. So UNSW, the University of Sydney, and a joint consortium from the University of Adelaide and University of South Australia will be launching three CubeSats. As part of the QB50 mission of 50 satellites that will measure the upper thermosphere.
What's a CubeSat?
A CubeSat, it's a standard platform.
Is that QSat or Cube?
Sorry, CubeSat. It's a 10 centimetre by 10 centimetre by 10 centimetre standard for a small satellite. So this is a great tool it's a great entry point for universities to get into to satellite development. So because it's a standard platform, there are lots of kits out there, or the universities can develop their own hardware.
So what sort of things will these satellites be doing?
So the one new CubeSat, which is that basic CubeSat, is very limited. But as the technology is being developed and the systems are being much smaller, then they can launch a simple camera, some instrumentation. But as we start working with what would be a 2U CubeSat, which is two CubeSats together, or a 3U, we start getting more space for a payload. Some of the universities are looking at satellite-to-satellite communication, they'll each be carrying the sensors that can measure the upper thermosphere. So looking at different types of payloads.
What are the advantages for students working on such a project?
It's a hands-on experience. It's all very well to learn about this in theory, but the students need to get the practical experience to integrate the satellite, to look at the relationship between the power system and your payload, looking at the thermal properties and the characteristics, the attitude and control. When all of these things come together, It's very rare that any one student has all these skills, so they need to work as a team to develop this. And certainly they have to look at making sure that it's safe to launch on somebody else's, usually done as a piggyback launch. So safe. So the test and the safety is critical. So this practical experience is vital for our engineering students, but then they also have to understand they need to look at the regulation. They need to if they're going to look at communicating with their satellite, then they have to have their spectrum licenses and all things like that. So it's a great way of producing industry-ready graduates, and that's what we're really interested in.
And is involvement in this open to people outside of the university environment?
There's a lot of interest from industry, so they're looking at either developing their own technology or, again, access to those industry-ready graduates. We're certainly putting in strategies in place to make sure that we engage secondary school students, undergraduate students, through to postgraduate and into industry, and also the general public. So we need to communicate to the public that these are skills that we need if we're going to have that innovative science and engineering industries, those industries based on these sort of skills. So the space industry is a very creative, high-tech, highly skilled industry in Australia. And Australia, when we get involved, we really punch above our weight because we have the fundamental skills. We might not have the large budgets, but we do a lot with them and we partner well.
There's a perception among some people I know that Australia doesn't do anything in space.
I think our biggest fault is our poor communication. I think a lot of it happens behind closed doors at universities, industries busily working away on things but don't necessarily spend as much. Engineers aren't known for communicating as much as they do work. So I think we don't give enough credit to what we do. The Australian Space Research Program generated 14 very, very successful projects that have gone on to secure additional funding and additional activity. So we'll be thrilled to be testing the Pulse Plasma Thruster from ANU in our new thermal vacuum chamber sort of later this year. And that's got a huge amount of interest from the European Space Agency. So Astrium is working with that project. So we're seeing that go on to bigger and better things. The GRACE follow-on mission is also attracted additional support, and so is the Greenhouse Gas Monitor project, and the others too. They're moving on and looking at the next step to evolve these programs and build on what was developed. So some great coordination with industry came out of that, and some really positive projects.
Now, GRACE is a gravity measuring satellite, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. So, again, that was developed out of physics at ANU. I believe one of their undergraduate students who actually put in an application for the VSEC NASA Australia Space Prize actually broke a world record for for the sensitivity of one of the instruments he developed in relation to that mission. So it really, that sort of activity is not only it's challenging our students to develop new technologies and really push their boundaries, and then look at where those technologies can be used on international missions or international collaboration.
Now, someone who wants to find out more about this or perhaps even become involved in it, how do they do that?
At the moment, they can visit the Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics website. The Advanced Instrumentation Technology Centre, or AITC, is still having its final fit-out, so there'll be a lot more information coming out over time with, I'm sure, an upgraded website. And watch out for our new Facebook page.
Oh, everything's on Facebook these days, except me.
It is. But that's how the next generation of our scientists and engineers communicate, so do we.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Naomi.
Thanks very much, Andrew.